I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2, if you will, please. Luke chapter 2. Now, Christmas is the season of wonders. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, we see the wonder of the virgin birth. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." You know, we have the wonder of the angels who came to Mary and to Joseph and the shepherds. It says in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, "The angel of the Lord said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people.'" We have the wonder of the incarnation. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, the Apostle Paul records for us, he says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men." You know, here, especially in our country, in America, we are free to talk about those wonders, and we should. We should be very faithful in talking about those wonders. And I shared with you last week that these next few messages are going to be pretty simple. In fact, this message this morning, probably one of the most simple messages I've ever shared. And my purpose this morning, and I want you to get this, and you're going to see it very clearly as we go through, is I want us to very clearly understand the simplicity of the gospel message. The simplicity of the fact that Jesus came for us. And how we need to be faithful proclaiming that message. This time of year, we have opportunities that we normally don't have. There's open doors that we don't have. Do we take those opportunities? This past week, I'll give you an example. This past week, I was in a dentist chair. You know, you're stuck. But so is that lady cleaning my teeth. And so we're having a conversation, and eventually it came around to Christmas, and she asked if our family is into the Elf on the Shelf and doing all these things. And I simply shared with her, no, you know, our focus in our home is on Jesus Christ. And I started to share some things, and I started to share the gospel with her. It didn't go anywhere, and the door quickly closed. But when we have opportunities like that, are we going to take advantage of them? Are we going to share the simplicity of the gospel message that Jesus came for us? That Jesus was born for us? As I said, in our country, we have the freedom to share, like in other places around the world, they don't. We have brothers and sisters in Christ who are facing life and death decisions on whether they're going to share Christ every single day. We can carry our Bibles. We can share our testimony. We can invest in people's lives. We can share Bible verses. We can do so many things. But I want to read some statistics to you. Again, just to reiterate the fact that we have an opportunity and we need to take advantage of that opportunity. This is from an organization called Open Doors USA. And they deal with a persecuted church, persecuted Christians. And every year they do a in-depth survey and research. And these statistics are from October 31st, 2017 to November 1st, 2018. So they're about a year old, but this is about the most current there is. And they study the top 150 countries that are viewed as the top countries for persecution for believers. And then they come down and they compile a 50 world watch list, which is the most intense persecution in these top 50 countries. So sometimes those countries change a little bit on which ones make the top 50. But all these statistics are from last year. There are 1 year statistic from these top 50 world watch list countries. So in that year, 245 million Christians experienced high levels of persecution for their choice to follow Christ. 1 in 9 Christians worldwide experienced intense persecution for their faith. That number has risen 14% over the previous year. 4,136 Christians were killed for faith-related reasons in those top 50 countries. That's not the total number killed. That's just in those top 50 countries. In a one-year period, 4,136 Christians killed for their faith. 2,625 Christians in those 50 countries were detained without trial. They were arrested and they were sentenced and imprisoned simply because of their faith. 1,266 churches or Christian buildings were attacked in those 50 countries. In seven out of the nine countries in the world list top 10, the primary cause of persecution is the Islamic oppression. 11 countries scored in the extreme level for persecution. 5 years ago, only one country scored in the extreme level. 18 consecutive years, North Korea has ranked number one as the world's most dangerous place for Christians. Every month, 105 churches are attacked, burned, or vandalized in those top 50 countries. And then I could go on and list several more, but we have brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted for their faith. And because of that, they have had to come up with different things to share the gospel message, to encourage each other in their faith. And if you go back and research what I'm going to share with you, it'll probably lead you in a lot of different directions because we're not 100% certain of the origin of this. But I am very certain that it has been put into practice hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of times. We're talking this morning about Christmas in code. Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was light, white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. Now, that's a nursery rhyme that we all grew up knowing, based on a true story, as Mary, what was her last name? I can tell you in just a second. Mary Sawyer, in the state of Massachusetts, in the 1800s, had a little lamb that followed her to school one day. Was kicked out of school, but hung around the whole day and continued back. And there was a visitor there that day, a substitute teacher, was observing what was going on, and he went home and wrote the first three stanzas of Mary Had a Little Lamb. That very simple nursery rhyme that so many around the world, not just in America, so many around the world know, was coded into the Christmas story. In Luke chapter 2, look at the first seven verses with me. It says, "Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth." Then verse 7 is that code. "And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." All right, number one, you see up there on your outline, Mary had a little lamb. In verse 7, it says she gave birth to her firstborn son. Think about the significance of that code, lamb, description for Jesus Christ. You know, and I could develop just that and have several messages, but I'm not going to do that this morning. You know, Christmas didn't begin in Bethlehem. God's promise to send his son goes back to the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." That prophetic message about Jesus Christ goes back to the Garden of Eden. Christmas was foreshadowed in Abel's first offering of a lamb. In the Gospel of John chapter 1, we see John the Baptist and hear him proclaiming and saying, "I am not the one who was sent, I'm just preparing the way." And then it says in verse 29, he saw Jesus coming, and he simply said, "Behold, the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. You know, it's no wonder the shepherds were the first at the manger and were the first evangelists. And when we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord in heaven, you know, when we get to heaven, the Bible tells us we're going to worship the Lamb. Some interesting verses in Revelation chapter 21, verse 23. It says, in the city, and this is talking about this new city that we are going to be in. It says, and the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. Its lamp is the Lamb. Those who don't have their names written in the Lamb's book of life will never experience that. This is in Revelation 21:27, and nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Mary had a little lamb, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. Jesus Christ was that substitutionary lamb, that supernatural lamb, that sacrificial lamb, that special lamb, that sought lamb. And then number two, his fleece was white as snow. His fleece was white as snow. In my New American, it says, and she wrapped him in cloths. Your King James said she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. You know, invariably, I think any picture that's ever depicted this scene as Jesus Christ, that baby wrapped in white linens. Now, if you come to the program tonight, that little baby is going to be wrapped in white. It's very, very likely, in fact, almost certain, that would have been the color that would have been used for a couple reasons. For one, it was extremely hot in that region, and they often wore white clothing. Now, you know, if it's hot and sunny out, you don't go out in black, because if you're like me, you sweat just thinking about going out there. You know, so it was hot, so they wore white clothes. She wrapped him in those swaddling clothes that were, I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll get back to that in a second. You know, she wrapped him in white. White is significant in the Word of God because white is the picture of holiness. White is the picture of righteousness. The Word of God tells us that when sinners come to Christ, when we come to the Lamb and we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives, it says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, come now. Let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. One day lost sinners are going to be judged before the great white throne. Revelation 20, verse 11, I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. White is significant in Scripture. The sinless one, Jesus Christ, was wrapped in white. And it's also significant that white was the color of grave clothes. Most believe, and I don't think it's a stretch, to think that Jesus Christ as a baby was probably wrapped in what was set aside for grave clothes. You know, that significance picture of he came to die. He came to be that sacrifice for us on the cross of Calvary. He came to pay the price so sinners could be clean. Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow. Number three, everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. It says in verse 7, and she laid him in a manger. That manger speaks about the availability of Christ to all. When we think about it's a feeding trough. It wasn't just for one animal, it was for all of them to come. And Jesus Christ came for us. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And then it's recorded for us in Hebrews 7:25, therefore he's able to also save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. You know, the The Christmas story is so simple. Jesus Christ came to this earth, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, so that He alone could be that perfect substitute, that sacrifice on the cross of Calvary for our sins, to pay a price that we couldn't pay, to take our place so that we can go to His place and be in heaven with Him one day. You know, it only happens when I believe by faith. Think about this. The Christmas story, the gospel message is so simple, it can be coded in a nursery rhyme, which is for children. Because the Bible tells us we need to come with childlike faith. We need to come and believe. Simply believe. You know, is that a reality for us? Last week we went through that Romans road. The gospel message very clearly presented in the gospel or in the book of Romans. Have we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives? He told the disciples, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, he says, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" He says in Hebrews 13:5, "I will never leave you or forsake you." That promise that Jesus Christ, when I receive Him, is with me, no matter what. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, a familiar psalm. We know it. Most of us can quote it. Not only is Jesus the Lamb, but He's also that shepherd. And David records for us, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I know the majority of us here this morning have that relationship with our Lamb, with our Shepherd. We have placed our faith and trust in Him, and He is with us forever. And we have that hope, and we have that confidence. If you don't trust Christ today, talk to me afterwards, talk to somebody you're sitting next to, see from the Scriptures what it means to have that relationship with Him. But most of us have that, I understand that, but the gospel is so simple a child can understand. How many times have we shared the gospel in the last week, in the last month, in the last year? How many opportunities has God given us and we didn't take advantage of them? One of the roles we have as a child of God here on this earth is to share the gospel message, to proclaim His truth. We're to take that message with us. If God opens a door this week and somebody asks you about your Christmas traditions or what you do special at Christmas time or anything that opens a door, are you going to share Jesus Christ? Are you going to share the gospel message that Jesus Christ is God's indescribable gift who came for us? Don't walk away when the door's open. You may walk in and it may close. That's all right. Look for another door. I guarantee you, you're going to have a chance to share Christ somewhere, some way. Will you do it? It's as simple as it can possibly be. Are we willing to take that simple message and trust God with results? Father, thank you for your truth. Thank you that you give us examples in Scripture. Lord, you tell us that Jesus Christ was your gift for us. Lord, I am thankful and confident that almost everyone sitting here has that relationship with you, but in reality, somebody may not. And I ask that you will work in their hearts and minds, and that they will have that desire to trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. To have that childlike faith where they come and they acknowledge they're a sinner and they need a Savior. And they confess their sins and they trust in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who paid the price on the cross of Calvary for their sins. They trust Him for salvation. Lord, most of us have made that decision. But I wonder how many of us are comfortable in the fact that we're going to heaven. And we're not really convicted to be that gospel witness and testimony you've called us to be. And we're afraid of rejection. We're afraid that we might fumble when we're talking. And so we simply don't say a thing. And door after door after door is closed because we don't listen and obey. Lord, even this week, you're going to open some doors for many of us. May we be faithful to proclaim the gospel truth that Jesus Christ came for mankind. May we never take that lightly. May we never take it for granted. We ask these things in Jesus' name.